Now we're going to turn in our Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. Now, please turn to the passage if you can. I think it's so important, and I know it's so important, that we read and we read and we reread the Holy Scriptures. So let's turn to that passage in Matthew chapter 6. Our subject, of course, today is the subject of prayer, and we're continuing on that theme of what to pray, because that's what the Lord's Prayer is all about. So let's read from verse 5 of Matthew chapter 6. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrite, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and in the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows that what you need before you ask Him. Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Let's pray together. Father, thank you again for the Word of God. Thank you that it's been given to us, and it has been given to us for our whole lives as Christians. And so we can never ever come to the place or the stage in life where we no longer need to read it. And so we pray that you will help us now as we come to meditate upon a little phrase of the truth that we find here, and that again you will speak to our hearts. And our prayer is that our hearts will be moved and blessed and thrilled as the Lord speaks to us through his word. And we again ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Subject, as we've said, is continuing in what is prayer. And we have just read that portion together again. This part of the Lord's Prayer that we find here in Matthew. And today we're going to look at this statement, this part of the prayer, which says, when you pray, say, give us this day our daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. And then we will go on to look at for another day, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Now, the statement that we have here in this part of the Lord's Prayer is the fourth petition that we have here. Now, as we have already seen, the first three petitions are Godwards. They are Godwards. What do I mean by that? Well, it means that whenever we come to pray, our prayer is firstly for God and for His honor. And in that way, the prayer is like, very much like, the Ten Commandments. You know, as you look at the Ten Commandments, that the first four of the Ten Commandments are Godwards. You know the first commandment, you shall have no other gods before me. The second, you shall not make for yourself any graven image or any likeness to God. The third commandment, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. And then the fourth commandment, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And then the fifth and following commandments are man words. Whenever we read these words, or whenever we look at the fifth commandment that says, honor your father and your mother, the sixth, you shall not murder, the seventh, you'll not commit adultery, you shall not steal, number eight, you shall not bear false witness, number nine, and you shall not covet, number ten. And we see here that first of all, the commandments, the first four are God-word, and the second six are man-word. Now, this pattern prayer, as we have seen, follows exactly the same form. And we see God first. In the first four petitions, we acknowledge, in the first four, we are praying, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. And then we have these words, give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, and so on. And so, as we come to think about this fourth petition, we acknowledge our daily need of the Lord's help and of the Lord's provision. We come to think about ourselves in prayer, and as we do, we're aware that we need Him. And every part of every day. Let us then look at this petition. And again, I put it under three headings. Firstly, we will note who is praying. Secondly, what we are praying for. And thirdly, when we want that prayer to be answered. Firstly, then, who is praying? Well, we have seen this before, and the answer is very, very clear. The children of God are praying. And how do we know that? Because whenever we come to pray, we are to say, Our Father who art in heaven. And so we can see that this prayer is a prayer that comes from the heart of the children to God, their heavenly Father. And what are we praying? We're praying, give us this day our daily bread. Give us today our daily bread. We note the us and the our here. Give us this day our daily bread. And as we think about that, we ask ourselves the question, why are we to pray in this way? Give us this day our daily bread. Should we not be praying, Lord, give me this day my daily bread? And I could go on to ask the question, is it right to pray like that? Now, after all, the Lord Jesus is saying here, when you pray, say, give us this day our daily bread. Well, it's interesting to look at this prayer, because right the way through this pattern prayer, we have the plural and not the singular. I don't know whether you've noticed that. Look at the prayer. It says, Our Father, who art in heaven. Then it says, Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive them that trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And so we can see that right the way through, it's not saying give me, it's saying give us. It's not saying my Father, it's saying our Father. Now we need to remember, my dear friends, here, that the Lord Jesus is speaking to his disciples. Indeed, they are the ones who are asking him to teach them how to pray. And so he's looking at his disciples as a community, as a fellowship of people. And he's saying, this is how you are to pray. Give us this day our daily bread. Now, there is absolutely nothing wrong with praying and praying for our own private needs in our own private time of prayer. Indeed, that's something which we certainly would encourage, because when you are alone with God, you can come and you can pour out your heart to him regarding all your needs and all your cares. But when we pray, here he says, give us this day our daily bread. Now, there's very obviously the place for that private prayer, because we read in chapter 6, if you note that, it says, when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And so the Lord Jesus is encouraging us to get alone with him. Indeed, he showed the great example in his own prayer life. And so many times he would go alone unto the mountainside, and sometimes he would pray all night. And so this prayer is vital for us. But we must come back and look honestly at what is being taught to us here in the Lord's Prayer. It is teaching us what we would call corporate prayer. And it is the prayer of the family. It is the prayer of the family of God. And so Jesus is teaching his disciples in how to pray as a body of believers. You see, we can find that so much as we go through the Word of God. We can see that God's people are encouraged to come together for worship. And they're encouraged to come together for prayer. And they're exhorted not to forsake the assembling of themselves together. And the Lord's Prayer, as we find it here in this passage, is a prayer that is prayed when the body of believers come together. Now, we have looked at this in a bygone day, and we can see how often this is brought through in Holy Scripture. And Acts 2 is a very clear example of what happened immediately after the day of Pentecost, and many people were swept into the kingdom of God. What did they do? They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship. and to breaking of bread and to prayers. And so we can see, as we trace through the Word of God, both the Old Testament and the New Testament, that the believers, the saints of God, gather together. And as they gather together, they gather together to worship. They gather together to break bread. They gather together to pray and fellowship. And this truth, as I say, is a truth that we cannot overstate. James says this in James 5 and verse 16. There confess, therefore, he says, confess your sins. How? To one another. And pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is great. And power and work. And so here we can see James is teaching the church, and he's saying to the church, well, you need the help that comes from God. So when you come together to encourage and to help one another. And confessing your sin to one another and to pray the one for the other. Paul says in Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 11, therefore encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing. Or the writer to the Hebrews says this, and we know it well, let us consider how to stir up one another to love and to good works, not neglecting to meet together as the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. And so there we can see, and those are just a few of the many passages of scriptures that we can turn to that very clearly convey to us the wonderful privilege and blessing that belongs to the church of Jesus Christ. Yes, prayer is a private thing in which we come and we spend time in wrestling with God in prayer. But it's also a corporate thing. Whenever the church comes together, it comes together for worship and for prayer. It comes together in order that it might encourage, that each member might encourage each other. And what better way is there to do that than to pray the one for the other? As you know, I considered corporate prayer as one of the most important exercises in the life of the church. And I am absolutely convinced that the church of Jesus Christ, the local churches throughout the nation and around the world, should find times and opportunities to come together and to pray the one for the other. Why? Because God's Word very clearly teaches us that. The Word of God is very clear. If we want to know the mind of God regarding prayer, here we have it. Because it is vital, and a vital part of corporate worship. We don't just come together to hear the Word of God. That is very important. And it is so important that the preaching of the Word of God is central in the life of the church, but my dear friends, never at the expense of prayer. They go together in the life of the church. It's the vital part of the church. You see, I need you and you need me, and we need God. And so this is how the Lord has ordained it. I do believe that it's not possible to function as a church without it. Oh yes, we might limp along, but it's not possible to function without this vital element of prayer in the life of the church. It's a wonderful thing whenever God's people can gather together, and in gathering together, they're praying for one another. And as they're praying for one another, they're encouraging one another and building them up in their most holy faith. And so there we have something which I believe is vitally important for us as we come together. Firstly, as we consider rather prayer, firstly, remember then who is praying and who is gathered together as we pray. Secondly, as we look at this statement, give us this day our daily bread, we must ask ourselves the question, what are we praying for? We can see who is praying. We can see that we're to pray for each other. But what are we praying for when we say, give us this day our daily bread? What exactly does that mean? Now, I know that some will probably say it simply means that we should ask God to give us food day by day. That we should ask God to give us food day to day. Now, that is true. But that's not all that this that is not all that is being taught just here. I am aware of the fact today that millions of people around the world do not know where the next meal is coming from. I just read the other day, hundreds of thousands of people in Yemen are dying of hunger. It's an awful thought. I saw some pictures that would move your heart to tears. Many, many people around the world have no idea where their next meal is coming from, or if there is a next meal for them. So we should pray for those people. And those people should pray for themselves. We should do everything that we can to try and help those people who do not know that they will be able to sit down to a meal today. But how many of us here need to pray that prayer? How many of us need to pray that prayer? I venture to say this morning that there's not a single person in this building who is worried about what they're going to eat today. We all, I would say all of us, are sure that we will get food. We will not go hungry. The pantry is full. The fridge is full. The freezer is full. We have everything that we need as far as food is concerned. So does that mean that some of the disciples, that some of the followers of the Lord Jesus should pray this prayer, but others shouldn't because they don't need to? No, my dear friends. Food is not the only necessity in life. And so we think about this statement. You see, as I think about it, I realize that every day we need the Lord's provision, not just in the area of food. We may have plenty in our pantries, but in so many other ways, we need the Lord's provision. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 14 and following, we read these words. Yet it was kind of you to share in my trouble. And you Philippians yourself know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving except you only. Even in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs once and again. You sent help for my needs. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. I have received, he says, full payment and more, and I am well supplied. I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, a fragrant offering and a sacrifice acceptable and praising to God. And then he says this in verse 19. And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and forever. And I just take up that statement that he gives there. He says, thank you to the church that sent and supplied his need. No doubt he prayed, give us this day our daily bread. But then he says this to the church, my God shall supply your every need according to the riches and glory in Christ Jesus. You see, the reality is, my dear friends, that every moment of every day, we are in need of God's provision. We are in need of God's help. The hymn writer put it this way, very aptly. I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. I need thee, oh, I need thee every hour. I need thee. Is that how you feel this morning? Well, if it isn't, then you will not really need to pray this prayer. You will not need to say, give us this day our daily bread. Give us this day our daily needs. And that supply comes from God. Let me try to explain. We need him. I think of myself. I need him every day because I need his wisdom every day. I need his patience. I need to be a more patient person. I need his grace. I need his guidance. I need his help. I need his strength. I need his love. I need to feel and know the everlasting arms of the eternal God, both underneath me and round about me. I need thee, oh, I need thee every hour. I need thee. Oh, yes, I know I can go home today and there will be food. And I'm pretty sure tomorrow and the next day. But oh, my dear friends, there are so many things that I need. And for those needs, I need to come to God because every good and every perfect gift comes from where? It comes from above. It comes from the hand of God. I know that without Him, I can do nothing. Absolutely nothing. I know when I have fears and I have cares and I have troubles, I cannot help myself. But I know that my help comes from the Lord. That's why Paul says, with His help, we can do all things. I love what the psalmist said about this. For it is you who light my lamp, the Lord, my God, lightens my darkness. Then he says this, for you I can run against a troop, and by my God I can leap over a wall. I think some of you might struggle at leaping over a wall. But what is the psalmist saying just here? He's saying, by your help I can do that which I know humanly it is impossible to do. I need the help of God. I need Him every hour. I need Him. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to you. So, my dear friends, this is what is meant when it says, give to us this day our daily bread. Give to us the provisions that we need. We're not asking because of our greed, but we're asking because of our needs. You know, sometimes in life, as Christians, it's hard. And we need the strength that comes from God to be able to cope with life and the things that life throw at us. But remember, He is a sovereign God who will never allow us to be tested above that we are able to bear. And He's there all the time, and He's saying, please pray, give us this day our daily bread. Are you here this morning and somewhat discouraged? Are you concerned about certain circumstances in your life? Then the Lord is urging you. This is how you should pray. Lord, give us this day our daily bread. What a wonderful privilege the children of God have. They have had the privilege of coming to the Father, their Father, who owns, as the hymn writers, and the cattle on 1,000 hills, the wealth in every mine. He is the one who holds all things in the hollow of His hand. His storehouse is always full. And He is saying to us, you come to me. You tell me what your needs are. You pour out your heart before me. And I, by grace, will give to you that which I know will be a blessing to you and is in my mind and in my will. Then thirdly, when do we pray this prayer? Note what it says. Give us this day our daily bread. It is a daily prayer. And that means that it is something which we continue to do day after day and week after week. Does that mean then that we shouldn't pray for the future? Whenever we say, give us this day our daily bread, well, I don't think it means that. We can think about the future. But we should pray about the future, always adding, of course, if it be the will of God. If it be the will of my Father, I will do this. You remember what James says here regarding this very thing? Note what he says in James 4, verses 13 to 16. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such and such a town, and we will spend a year there and trade and make profits. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this and do that. You see what he's saying? Come, you people who say, tomorrow, today or tomorrow, we will go into such and such a town. We will spend a year there and we will trade and we will make profit. He says, yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. So whenever you come to pray for the future, you say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this and do that. But it's all subject to the will of God. And we cry as we have seen, not my will, but thine be done. The only time that we can be certain of, my dear friends, is the moment that we now live in. The needs that we have are the needs that are here and now, not the needs of tomorrow, next month, or next year, because we may not be here. And the whole future is in the hand of the sovereign God. Christian's whole future is there in the hands of his Father. That is why the Lord said in this same Sermon on the Mount in chapter 6, verse 33 and 34, he says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, he says, do not be anxious. I love this, I really do. Do not be anxious about tomorrow. Do not worry about tomorrow. For tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. So that's why we are to say, not my will, but thine be done. And to pray, give us this day our daily bread. I'm sure some of you might know the wee simple poem that you learned as a child. And yet I thought that it was so apt for today and this sermon. You remember it? Said the robin to the sparrow, I would really like to know why these anxious human beings rush about and worry so. Said the sparrow to the robin, friend, I think that it must be that they have no heavenly Father such as cares for you and me. And it, in that little childish poem, we have this great truth that God cares for the sparrows. That's why he says, therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you'll drink, or about your body, what you'll put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they?" And so there we have it. This prayer, "Give us this day our daily bread." And so the Lord is encouraging us and saying to us, "Listen, guys. Listen, you, my children, you come to me daily because my storehouse is full. And I will give to you that which I know will be a blessing and a help to you. You come to me continually, not to store up store for many days, but simply come to me and say, 'Lord, give me this day what I need. And Lord, as I go through this day, this is what I need. I need your help. I need your grace. I need your patience. I need your guidance. Oh Lord, give it to me.'" And he has promised that he will hear and he will answer our prayer. So that's what we are to pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Give us this day our daily bread. And in giving it to us, we will give to you praise and honor and thanks. Let's pray. Oh Father, we bow to thank you again for your word. We know that you have indeed, until this moment in time, given to us everything that we need for life. And we know that the greatest gift that was ever given to us was the gift of new life through our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we pray, we are just being exhorted here in your word to pray the one for the other. And so we take that moment in praying for each other. And we pray, Father, that you will help those who perhaps at this time are going through a time of uncertainty, but you know all about that. They're going into a time whenever they're seeking the guiding hand of God. Oh, Father, lead them and guide them. Perhaps there are those who are going through pain and struggle, finding the going somewhat difficult. Oh, Father, give them this day your daily bread. Help us, Lord, as a body of believers, to take to heart that which we find in your word that teaches us to encourage one another. And so much more as we see the day approaching. Oh, Father, help us to be a people who rest content in the lot that you have given to us. And, oh, Father, enable us, we pray, to be able to praise you and thank you in every circumstance. And like the Apostle Paul, to be able to say, "I have learned in what situation I find myself to be content." Bless your word again to all our hearts, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.